resurrection. You know, many churches, it's a tragedy. What happens in many churches is the celebration of Resurrection Sunday is a great thing and it's a wonderful blessing. But the truth of the matter is that tomorrow is Monday, and tomorrow there ought not to be any less celebration for what Jesus did on the cross all those years ago than there is today. There should be no less celebration on Wednesday or on Thursday or on Friday. And when it's raining on Tuesday in the morning and everything seems down and gloomy, there still ought to be a buoyancy and a celebration, because he rose from the grave for me every day of my life, that I would live in resurrection power. And I refuse to take anything less than that. You know, the truth is, and it says it so well in Romans. I must read from Romans this morning. Romans 5 from verse 17. It says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." And you know, the truth is that when this happened, it happened so that you and I wouldn't be stuck in regret and negative thinking and, you know, feeling that we're no good, feeling that, you know, the enemy comes in and he charges people in the church, doesn't he? The same old pattern. Every week he says the same thing. He says, "You're no good." He says, "You failed again. You lost your temper. You did this wrong. You did that wrong. You failed. You're no good. You're just no good. You keep on messing up. What are you going to celebrate about this for? You keep on messing up all the time." That's the attack of the enemy, my brothers and sisters. It's the enemy's attack. But when he attacks, answer him back. Will you answer him back? This is what it is to have resurrection power every day. This is what I'm talking about. We answer him back by saying, "Yes, I might have messed up. Yes, I might just be a work in progress. Yes, I might have done things that are wrong, but I am justified not by my works, but by the works of the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross. He justified me, and so now no accusation against me. I'm free, and I'm going to live in the freedom that Christ paid for. I'm going to live free. I'm going to live with a buoyancy and an expectation of life. I'm going to live the abundant life of God." This is the beautiful truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, when Jesus arose from the dead after being crucified, his voice echoes through the ages, doesn't it? It's finished. Satan was defeated and conquered under Jesus' feet. That means that he's not going to be defeated. Satan isn't going to be defeated in the future. He's defeated now. He's already defeated now. He's defeated. And this is it. In Colossians 2:15, it says this: "Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." Jesus triumphed over the devil. Put all those principalities and powers of evil to shame through the cross, through the resurrection after the cross. And this is the challenge for us then. This is the opportunity that we have. And we can start it as we pray at the end of this service today. I want us to pray at the end of this service. But before we get to that point, I'm going to share briefly 3 points. This is the first one. Number one, there's a decision that we must make to activate the resurrection power inside of you. So this resurrection, it's provided because of Jesus. His resurrection paved the way for our resurrection life now. Not in some future, not in eternity, now. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, at the start of Jesus' ministry, he teaches the Lord's Prayer. And so many churches now, they pray the Lord's Prayer: "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done on earth, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. And then Jesus lives his life out and lives that kingdom life. A life of miracles, a life of the supernatural, a life of speaking to mountains and moving them. You know what Micah said about the supernatural earlier? That's so true. You know, my precious brothers and sisters, we have to activate the resurrection power inside of us. We'll keep it simple. Let's keep it very simple this morning. Let me say this. How do you activate the resurrection power? Number one, you have to believe it. So being born again won't cause resurrection power to operate in your life. It doesn't operate automatically. You have to choose to believe it. Believing is what activates the power in your life. You believe it. So you activated resurrection power when you allowed Jesus Christ to come into your life as your Lord and Savior. Everything changed. You became a Christian. You became a believer. So that's activated that. But resurrection life now needs to be activated. So there's so many Christians in the world. They live as Christians. They've activated their faith in terms of becoming a Christian, but they're still not living in resurrection power. They've got to activate now resurrection power. It's like, you know, you could own a car and you could sit in a car and that would be nice. But to really use the car, to really benefit from the car, you've got to turn the engine on, activate the thing, and then let that thing move you through life. And it's like that with the church. So many people, they believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, but they haven't activated resurrection power. Now that means when you face something difficult in your life, when there's something that's a trouble, when there's a circumstance that's not going your way, what you say is, I'm going to activate resurrection power. I have authority. I have the power inside of me, and I'm going to use it. So it's a decision to use the power that's available on the inside. That's the step that I want to first invite everyone to make. Make sure you're making that step. And you do it by believing it. You say, that's for me. Resurrection power is for me. Yes, I'm born again. Yes, I'm heaven bound. Yes, I'm a Christian. But I believe now that I'm meant to live in this resurrection power. I believe it. I'm meant to have that. Jesus said I could speak to mountains and move them. I believe it. Jesus said, let's just read this again. Let me read this slowly. I get so excited about this, my friends. This has shaped my life, you know. Changed everything in my life. I've seen so many miracles, so many wonderful things transform my life. I'm just so thankful to God. But we have to activate this. We have to say, right, the Bible says this, therefore I will receive this. I put a demand on myself to receive this. That's what does it. Passively thinking, oh, well, if it's God's will, it'll happen. No! Put a demand on it. Say, I'm going to take it by faith. I need healing. I make a choice to take it by faith. I take it. I need finances. I make a choice to take them. By faith, I need something for that person over there. They need it. I choose then to take it on their behalf by faith. I've seen that many times. It's a choice that we make to activate resurrection life in our lives. Am I making sense this morning, everyone? Amen. Let me read this from Romans 5. Let me read this. Please, everyone, listen to each word. This is so important. For if by the one man's offense, Romans 5 verse 17, for if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, That's talking about Adam and death reigning through Adam. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace. I've received an abundance. Have you received abundance of grace? Oh, no, it doesn't say a little bit of grace. It doesn't say a little bit of grace. It says an abundance of grace. An abundance of grace. I needed an abundance of grace because I messed up so often in my life. I had such a big mess up on my own. A failure waiting to fail again, over and over and over again. So I really needed an abundance of grace. I'm so happy I've received an abundance of grace. And I keep on receiving it and receiving it and receiving it. You see, it's not about how good you are. It's not about how good we are. It's about how good he is. And it's his life. And it's his grace. And it's the abundance of grace. And watch this. The abundance of grace. And then it says, and the gift of righteousness. Righteousness. It's a gift. The gift of righteousness. What's righteousness? It's right standing. Macy, come here a sec, sweetheart. Bring that gift that we had there, those eggs, whatever that is. It's okay, they're safe. Just stand here. We're in front of people, I wouldn't dare. And just look at me. Watch this, everyone. This is so important for us to understand. In the Old Testament, when a person would come with their offering, Macy now will represent people in the Old Testament coming with their offering, and I'll represent the priest in the Old Testament. And the priest in the Old Testament had to view the offering. And the offering had to be a certain type of offering. It had to be without spot or blemish. That's right, isn't it? Is that right? The offering had to be without spot or blemish. So, Macy brings the offering to the priest. And what does the priest do? Checks the offering. Checks it out. Checks it to make sure that it's free from what? To make sure it's got no spot or blemish. What he doesn't do, he doesn't check the person who brought the offering to see if they're free from spot or blemish. They're irrelevant. It's the offering that counts. And if the offering is free from spot and blemish, they're seen as righteous. And you're happy God examined Jesus and not you. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. So you see, thank you, my darling. Thank you. So you see, where it says this, it says the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Righteousness, right standing before God, is his gift. It's his gift. He's not looking at us that we would qualify of ourselves. It was Jesus who qualified us. And this is what it says. Please, brothers and sisters, consider these next words. If you're in this position, if you are in this position, and most of you just nodded your head and said that you were, then the next words apply to you. Okay? Shall we read them? Very important words. Watch this. Will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. They'll reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Well, who reigns in life? Kings, queens reign in life. The truth is, my precious brothers and sisters, each one of us here today who has put their faith in Jesus Christ is a king and a queen before Almighty God. Each one of us ought to live our lives as a king and a queen. I'm telling you this. The world will tell you. The world may tell you that you're no good. The world may look down at you. The world may not understand you. I'm telling you this. God has placed you in an awesome position of reigning in life through one Jesus Christ. As a king or a queen would reign in life, we now walk through this world with different eyes. Different eyes. We walk through this world with a different perspective. All things are possible. Oh, yeah, but I could never do. Don't say that. All things are possible now for you. All things are possible. Everything is possible. Why? You're a king or a queen in the kingdom of God. You have awesome power. You just have to believe. Step one, that you live in resurrection power. That's step one. I move to step two very quickly here. So to activate the resurrection power of God inside of us, we believe it. Number two, we speak it. I believe that we must speak. I said it over and over again, but it's important that we get it into our understanding. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. What's finished? All that he came to provide and do and give us. And he says many things that give us clear understanding of how someone in power, in authority, ought to be. You know, Queen Elizabeth, that wonderful queen that we have, a lady of dignity and of faith, and she, you know, considers her words. Why? She's a queen. So she doesn't just throw words around. She doesn't just speak. You know, just throwing words, silly words out and just nonsense. No, no. Her words are weighty. Her words are measured. Why? Because when she speaks something, it comes to pass. Why? Well, she's a queen. Well, this is why the Apostle Paul writes in Romans, we will reign in life. He understood what Jesus said about words. Jesus said, faith as big as a mustard seed, you'll speak to that mountain and you can remove it. Jesus said, you'll have to give an account for every idle word that you've spoken. What's an idle word? An idle word is a word that doesn't produce. In other words, the purpose of our words is to produce something. Oh, I like that. Yay. Yeah, you got it. You got it, little one. Beautiful. Yay. Our words are meant to produce, aren't they? So then we can, you know, people despise sometimes the beautiful and powerful words of God, his teaching. This isn't my theory, you know. This isn't the theory of Kenneth Hagin. This isn't the theory of Kenneth Copeland. These are the words of Jesus Christ that I'm quoting. I'm not quoting the Word of Faith movement. I'm quoting Jesus Christ. I'm quoting resurrection. Sunday man, Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, who's alive, and he leaves us his testimony that we would follow it. And he said that you have to give an account for every idle word. In other words, the words that we speak should produce. The words that we speak must produce, because it's us who speak them. And we're ambassadors of God. We're kings and queens of Almighty God. We're the ones who walk through this world and we reign in life. So our words carry weight and power. Are you with me this morning, everyone? Praise God. And the third thing that we must do, act on it. Action. Let me say this. We should apply the name of Jesus then to every situation in life.
And we should counter every attack. Be active. Have an active faith. Live in resurrection power and live in an active way. So when people come against you, you have the power in Christ to bind circumstances, bind people, loose the blessings of God into your life, bind that which is attacking you. You have the authority to do that. You're a king and a queen. Your words have power. Your words carry power, great power. When you're in your room, you may go to your bedroom, you may have a room that you go to, a place that you go to. And as you go to that place and you engage in speaking out words, there's no fanfare. The trumpets, I know the trumpets aren't playing. And you know, it's not newspaper headlines. But I'm telling you, in the supernatural universe, your words as a believer have great sway. Your words carry authority. Your words carry great power and weight. If you're a person that believes in the resurrection life, your words can shape your world. They can shape your family. They can shape your life. The life of your loved ones. The life that's ahead of you. So, act in accordance to who you are. Not who you feel you are. Not who the enemy tries to tell you who you are every day, because every day there's a battle taking place. Act in accordance with who the Bible says you are. And this is an act of discipline. So you have to take discipline. You have to say, I'm not going to go with my feelings. I'm not going to be robbed of my position in God. I'm not going to be swayed now by anything else. I am going to act based on what the scriptures say I am. I'm going to live this way. I'm not going to live listening to the enemy and the accuser of the saints. I'm not going to listen to his lies saying I'm no good, that I've messed up again, that I'm defeated, that I've messed up, I'm no good, God's not pleased with me. I better... No. I'm not going to listen to that. If I do anything wrong, if I mess up, if I miss the mark, I'm going to turn straight away. I'm going to train myself to turn straight away to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. I messed up, Lord. I'm so sorry. But I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for the blood. I thank you that when you look at me, you see me as washed in the blood of Lord Jesus Christ. And now I'm going to continue on my way, and I thank and I praise you and I honor you, Father God, for what you've done in my life. And then you just carry on with God. And when the devil comes, you say, ha ha, devil, ha, I'm okay with God. God's happy with me. I'm righteous before God. I'm righteous before God, not because of my works, not because of my behavior, but because of his work and his behavior on the cross. I'm fine and God's fine with me. Hallelujah. And I'm going to live in the victory of the cross. I'm going to live a resurrection life and see great things happen as a result. Can you say amen this morning, everyone? Amen. Glory to God Almighty. We're going to have our communion now. And I'm going to invite Pastor Dennis to come up. And he's going to just lead us in a prayer. And then we're going to take our communion together. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Notes.